We have people coming into the country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals. And we're taking them out of the country at a level and at a rate that's never happened before. And because of the weak laws, they come in fast. We get them, we release them, we get them again, we bring them out. It's crazy. The dumbest laws, as I said before, the dumbest laws on immigration in the world. So we're going to take that. Somebody get me through this nightmare.
I can't control myself. You know, talking about dumb laws, I mean, again, you know, our gun laws, some of the dumbest in the world. And breaking now as we speak, evidently another shooting going on. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they've reported that, across the street from the Mount Zion High School graduation at the Clayton County Performance Arts Center, one person has been killed, another has been shot. Police are on the scene, and that's what we know right now. And you go, it's at epidemic proportions, and yet all we get is, well, nonsensical, you know, thoughts and prayers. Our thoughts and prayers. Not good enough. Anyway, here to talk about what we should be doing, share in my frustration, and discuss what we need to be doing. I've asked our good friend, Karee Pennant-Baker, to come talk with us. Karee is he's a gun violence survivor, also a board member with Everytown. Karee, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, man. I appreciate it.
So this is getting out of hand. I mean, this is out of hand, and it's getting to the ridiculous at this point that nothing is being done. We've now had two shootings in one day.
Well, I mean, we have 96 gun deaths every day. So these are the two shootings that you have heard about recently, with the mass shooting this morning with 10 people being shot and killed in the school in Texas, and nine of which were students. And then the two folks being shot this evening. I mean, at some point you got to ask yourself, when will America simply say, we tried this experiment of inaction and giving our empty and hollow thoughts and prayers. How about we do the opposite now and take action to make sure that those who should not have access to guns they shouldn't get them anymore. And finally do something so that we can't sustain this. This is literally unsustainable when you have this amount of gun death on a daily basis. At what point do we simply say, we cannot take this anymore?
No, I'm right there with you. You know, I saw Alyssa Milano on The View today, and right. She made what I think a point we've made a bunch of times. Everyone say, well, these are mentally ill people. And you go, okay, let's say they are mentally ill people. How do we get them help? How do we have a healthcare system that goes, okay, let's get mentally ill people help? I mean, that seems sane and rational. That's not even talking about the gun, really. That's just talking about helping people.
Yes and no. But the first thing I want to say is that those who are suffering from mental illness are less likely to be a perpetrator of a crime, more likely to be the victim of a crime. So those who are suffering from mental illness, really about 5% of the time are the perpetrator of a crime. So 95% of the time we are either not involved or are the victims of that. So what you see is you have these feckless politicians who want to create this narrative of those of us who have mental illness of being this scapegoat. They want to make it to be like it is mental illness and not gun violence, but yet they will underfund mental health care and make it easier for anybody to have easy access to a gun. You have people simply saying that this incredibly dangerous narrative of that if a bad guy wants to get a gun, they're going to find a way. That is a feckless legislator, someone who has simply given up and resigned themselves to defeat and simply saying they don't have the ability to sort their way through a difficult conversation and find a solution to make sure that that criminal, that bad person, should not have access to a gun. I simply refuse to accept that.
No, I'm with you. But, at the end of the day, the narrative that we keep hearing, and I'm so tired of hearing it, is you know, Korea, it's not the gun. Guns don't do it. It's not the gun.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, but when you really are honest about it, it's the hole in that person's body that continued to bleed that was caused by a bullet fired by a gun held by someone who should not have had it in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, they can argue rhetorically all they want while we still have 96 gun deaths a day. We've got to get to a point where the rhetorical arguments are put to the side and we look forward to actually having solutions that are going to save our communities, save people's lives, and so we can't keep happening. Can't keep having, you know, school shooting after school shooting, gun death after gun death, and having a legislator give you their thoughts and prayers as if they are bulletproof. No. I mean, seriously, we tell the world we are the greatest country on earth, but look what we accept. That doesn't sound great to me.
No, I'm with you. And you know, earlier I shared the story of you know, watching someone die. You know, the guy got shot in the chest, mm-hmm. and watching the blood and the life bubble out of his body, and you know that changes you. I mean, you can't stand there and watch someone die senselessly from a gunshot wound, and have it not change you. And there's part of me that goes, you know, and I hate being one of these people who say, you know, it's TV, it's the media, it's video games. But at some point, you can't see, you know, 10,000 people being killed on TV a year, you know, and not be somewhat desensitized to what it really looks like. And then when you really see it, it's changing.
Well, I mean, if you really looked at it, though, other countries have the same movies. They have the same video games. They have the same access in to a certain degree to social media. They see the same things and experience those platforms just like we do. Right. So, but they don't have the deadly epidemic levels of gun violence that we do.
Yeah, because they don't have access to.
Right. They don't have access to guns like we do. They don't have a gun death lobby using every shooting as a way to market to people to have more guns. They create this endless cycle of gun sales. Someone got shot. You should be afraid. Go buy a gun.
No, you know, Nancy Pelosi's statement today is going to be in an NRA email somewhere saying, hey, you know, send us money. We've got to stop gun grabbing Nancy. And oh, don't forget, go to your local gun store and buy them while you still can. Or you've got the politicians who, you know, I guess there's one in Alabama now who's, you know, raffling one off for his election. You know, again, you go, it's nuts.
Right. I mean, they used Barack Obama for 8 years as their black boogeyman to sell guns, and they had record years of gun purchases, making the people believe Barack Obama's going to come get your guns from you. That never happened. I mean, at some point, gun owners have to look at the NRA and the gun death lobby and say, y'all have been lying to us for years, making us believe that these folks that have come confiscate our guns, and they never have. Not only that, we don't have the capacity to do something like that. We need to get to a place where we as a country can have a civilized, rational discussion about the policy that we need that will literally save people's lives, that cannot be perverted by the dangerous perspective that the gun lobby has. They only want guns to be sold. They have zero interest in America's safety. They don't care about our kids being safe at school. In fact, you'll hear them talk about we need armed guards at schools because they want more guns sold. Yeah. They don't care about our kids being safe. They don't care about our kids being safe in the streets or preventing gun suicides like my mom. They want guns to be sold. And at some point, we simply have to say, we've tried that. We've listened to them. We've allowed our politicians to be bought off by them. We're done with that. We're going to try a different route and have policy that's literally going to save our people's lives and keep our community safe.
So what do you think of the lieutenant governor from Texas's solution, his thinking outside of the box of, you know, just having schools having one entrance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of box he looks at, but it's unfortunate that man is allowed to be in elected position, and I hope someone stands up and unseats him. But I don't want my children to go to school in a prison. We have, unfortunately, raised a generation of young folks who are conditioned to be entrenched in trauma, to be thinking constantly about whether or not they might be shot that day. You have kids right now who should be thinking about prom or graduation or their finals, but yet they're thinking about their classmate that got shot. And here you got a guy talking about a one-entrance school. That is reactive. He's only reacting to something after it's already done. How about being proactive to make sure the next school shooting doesn't happen by making sure the guns don't end up in the hands of those who shouldn't have them? The governor just a few years ago wrote a tweet that he was embarrassed that there was that Texas was the second leading gun purchaser in the country. He's embarrassed that they weren't number one.
That's a shame. It is a shame. But again, it goes back to this gun culture mentality. So let me ask you, is there a way, because, I had someone email me, go, well, there was no way for anyone to see that this kid was going to do this. There's no way that you could have stopped this. And I go, well, first, the father could have, had the guns locked up.
Locked the guns, right.
The access is a huge problem.
Yep.
So it's my view that one of the sane, rational things that we could do as a society is say, hey, if your kid, gets a hold of part of your arsenal and shoots up a school, you're going to be responsible. You're going to jail. Or, like the story I talked about yesterday, if your kid, reaches in the toy box and pulls out a gun and shoots themselves and kills themselves, somebody's going to be held liable. Lock somebody up. That seems like a sane, rational first step in my view.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to really redefine what it means to be a responsible, law-abiding gun owner. You cannot be deemed to be responsible when someone who shouldn't have access to guns get them because you leave the safe open. Just because you have a safe and you keep it open doesn't make you responsible. Just because you have a gun doesn't automatically make you safer. We can't allow the gun lobby to keep dictating what these words mean, whether it's law-abiding, responsible, patriotic. We need to take these words back and define them for what they truly are. And what the gun lobby makes people believe them to be is simply a fantasy. You have people talking about fantasizing shooting police officers or armed the National Guard at Kent State. It is mind-boggling to me how we have devolved to a position where it is accepted now to advocate for having a standoff against law enforcement or the military, and it is about keeping our community safe. I mean, I can't believe that we tell the world how great we are, but we behave like this. This is not civilized. This is not sane.
No, it's nuts.
That doesn't make us great.
No, I can tell you, I can see the guy's face to this day. It was a lunchtime, about 10 years ago. We're in the lunchroom, and the guys are talking, and this guy had said he had just gotten a new gun, and the fantasy, the pornographic fantasy, that he then went on to share with us, made me just get up and go, "You're crazy! You're the last person who should ever have a gun." He talked about how he was going to whip out his big gun and he was going to stick it to whoever walked in the door, and it was almost an X-rated fantasy. I mean, that's where he had taken this to. It was on that kind of a fetish plane that just scares the you-know-what out of me. And I go, that's the first person that we should not allow to have guns.
You know what else is interesting, though? Did you see anybody say, what about white-on-white crime today?
No, I didn't see that.
Right. Isn't that weird, right? I mean, there was a guy just last week in Indiana that had a shootout with the police with an AR-15. Did you see anybody talk about what about all this white on white violence? But when there's a black shooter involved, then it's what about Chicago? What about Baltimore? These are folks. Look, they simply don't have an interest in solving this problem. The NRA has paid for them to not have an interest in solving this problem. It is high time that we vote these people out and elect people who honestly care about saving our communities, protecting our schools, protecting our families, saving lives so that our children don't have to think about, am I going to be shot when I walk down the street? Am I going to be shot when I go to a nightclub or an open venue or a church or at school, at what point do we simply say, this is simply unsustainable? And that's really what this boils down to.
Yeah,
allow the NRA to have this death grip on us anymore.
I'm with you. Last question I've got for you, because I'm telling people they got to talk to their representatives. They've got to reach out. They've got to share stories. They've got to talk to them and demand. If you're giving advice to someone saying, hey, you know, contact your legislature, what do you want them to say?
That they want to have common sense gun reform. With universal background checks. And the thing is that people need to be able to be willing to vote on the issue of gun violence prevention. There's a whole list of issues that people vote for, but we need to make sure that gun violence prevention is at the top of that list. And if your legislator is unwilling to vote for or advocate for a common sense gun reform, then they don't get your vote, your support, your endorsement, your money, your time, whatever the case may be. You need to make sure that candidates are honestly and actively working to prevent gun violence in every aspect of the word.
Good stuff. Korea, I love talking to you. I love having you on. I just hate the days when we do.
I know, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Our good friend, Corey Pennebaker. You want to check out his work. He does fantastic work. And somebody that I suggest that you follow on this gun issue. I fear it's not going away anytime soon, but CoreyPettibaker.com is the website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.